We do. It's such a thing. It's something we all get to celebrate in. It's not just their celebration, it's all of us celebrating today as a family of God. If you count yourself a Christian who's never been baptized, we'd like to remedy that. And so if that's something you'd like to do, talk to me. This is something we do regularly in the church. And this is just a part of a life, part of the life of a healthy church. And so we'll be continuing to do baptisms from here until Jesus comes. So if you've never been baptized and would like to, come talk to me, come talk to Terry. You know what it looks like, but we can kind of give you the behind the scenes part of it. And just like to invite anybody, if you haven't done that, to consider that as a proclamation of faith to Jesus Christ. Okay, so we've got a few minutes left. So I want to spend the rest of our time talking about new life. Because that really is the theme of Easter, is new life, the resurrecting, the starting of something new. Because new life, I would imagine, is something that we all want. Everybody wants it, I believe. Faith, no faith, whatever. Everybody wants new life. They want transformation. They want improvement. They want change. They want newness in life. Betterment. And I would argue that's one of the biggest benefits of faith is a new life that we find in Jesus Christ, experiencing new life in him, being transformed. I don't know if you can see this in your life, but I today am a different person than I was before faith. As I started walking with Jesus, not by my own efforts, but by his spirit, he's been changing me. So much so that whenever I see anybody like pre-pastor days, they can't believe I'm a pastor, because of the life transformation that God has done in me. So that's one of the biggest joys of faith is experiencing new life in him and seeing what he does in our life. But the problem is, I worry that for many of us, we don't really experience new life. The Bible talks about new life. We use the phrase and we throw it around, but I worry that for a lot of us, we don't necessarily experience that new life. For us, maybe the life of faith looks a lot like the life without faith, but with the payoff of heaven at the end. I've confessed faith in Jesus Christ, I go about my business, and then I know when I die, I get to go to heaven. And that's what faith looks like. And if that's the case, oh man, are you missing out? New life. We're going to try to fix that this morning if that's you. Because I know that story as well. So today's passage is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 14. And if you have a Bible, you can turn to it there. If you have a handout with the lyrics, you can turn to it there. It's also in your handout. So if that's easier for you, just open it up, turn it over, whatever, and it's right there. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 14. This passage specifically is written about the resurrection and the impact the resurrection has on our day-to-day life. We're going to see that it refers to the resurrection as not just something that happened in the past, but something that affects now, day-to-day, and how it should affect, and we're going to see how it should affect our day-to-day lives today. Context. What's going on right before he writes this? Because this is in the middle of a big long letter. This is one chunk of a longer letter. So right before this, the Apostle Paul was writing to the church in Romans. And so he's writing to Christians, people who profess faith in Jesus Christ. So he's writing this letter to help them understand their faith in Jesus. And what he just got done talking about, he states the case very clearly and eloquently that Christians are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Not through obedience. It's not like if you obey good enough, then you're a Christian. No, it's a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, naming him as Lord and Savior. So saved by faith, not by obedience. Well, then the Romans, the audience is thinking, well, so it doesn't matter if I obey. That means I could do whatever, right? So if it's not about sinning, it's just about faith, then I could just go on sinning. And so what Paul is doing, he's answering that objection. He says, hold on. You're saved by faith, not by acts of obedience, but look how sin does matter. And then he goes into our account. Then he writes what we're going to read today. So that's the context. He's answering this objection or this response. Okay, so Romans chapter 6, starting at verse 3. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized, see how that's in the middle of a story? So that's why I gave you the context. So he's in the middle of an argument. Don't you know that all of you who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You guys notice the language there, the sharing in Jesus' death, the sharing in his resurrection. Why? So that we too may live a new life. That's what we're talking about this morning. Let's keep going. Verse 5. For if we have been united with him in a death like like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin may be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. So old self ruled by sin was crucified with Christ. And now this next section is going to start talking about this new life in Christ. Verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. We're part of that all. But the life he lives to God. All right, so that's Jesus. Jesus lives this new life. Now us. Now how do we share? In verse 11, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. And now it ends with a therefore. This is so what? So because of that, because you're living this, you share in his resurrection, sharing a new life with him, therefore, verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace. And so here we see, he says this new life in Christ is experienced as we live this, as we share in his resurrection, share in his new life, and because of that, there's a therefore that should affect our day-to-day life, and there was, notice there was a do not and a do in verses 12 through 14. He says, verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign or rule in your mortal bodies. Verse 13, do not offer any part of yourselves to sin. So there's a do not. Because we have new life in Christ, therefore no longer offer yourself to sin. To offer, like, don't be, let it rule over you or offer any part of yourself to sin. Instead, do offer yourselves to God. Offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. So this idea of new life, sharing in Jesus' death, sharing in his resurrection, should have an effect on our day-to-day life. And this is the main point I want to make today. I'm making one, this is a one-point sermon. Here's the one point. If you have enough focus for about 6 seconds and that's all you really got, you're ready, lock it in. Here's your time to start that focus. The main point is this. The reason that we often don't share in the new life of Christ is because we resist sharing in the death of Christ. The reason we miss out on experiencing the joy and of the new life, sharing in the new life of Christ, is we resist sharing in the death of Christ. We want the new life that Christ offers. We want new life in him, but we resist joining in the death of Christ. So put it another way, we want the new life, but we don't want to put to death the old life. We want something new, but we kind of want to hold on to the old. Yeah, I want new life as long as I can have some old life. And so we want to join in the resurrection of new, we want new life in Christ, but yet we want to hold on to the old as well. In order for there to be a resurrection, in order for there to be Easter Sunday, there had to be Good Friday. In order for the resurrection to happen, there had to be a death, right? Something had to end for this new thing to start. And I think for us, in our American culture, that we want best of everything. We want, yeah, I want the good of the resurrection, but I don't want any of the trouble of the discipline and the difficulty of giving up the old. I don't want to, I want to start new. I want the new, but I kind of want to hold on to the old. So I worry a lot of us, we have never really died to our old self. We've never let our old self go away to die. We've never closed out the old self. We're just trying to add on something new. So we're kind of like the audience that Paul is writing to when he says we're saved by faith, not by obedience. And we know that. We think, okay, I'm saved by grace, not by work. So therefore, if I sin, it doesn't matter because right now I'm saved by faith. And if I sin, well, I'm still saved by faith. So what's the big deal if I sin? It's not that big a problem because I'm saved by faith, not by works. I'm not saved by obedience. So I don't really need to resist sin. It's not that big a deal because I'm saved either way. Well, here's why it's a big deal. We miss out experiencing new life as long as we're holding on to old life. If we're continuing to live in the old ways, we're going to miss out on experiencing the newness of Christian life. So Paul says, no, that old self has got to die. It needs to go away. We join in Jesus' crucifixion. When he went to the cross, he died for us. He took our old self, our flesh, our sin, our all that. He took it away so we can experience a new life in him. But we never allow our old self to die. We continue in our sin. We continue living the same way. And then we wonder why this faith thing isn't working out. My life doesn't look all that different. I thought it was going to be different. But we're still living in our old self. About this idea that something has to die, there has to be a death for the resurrection. Jesus tells his believer, the other believers, the disciples, he says, hey guys, pick up that cross and follow me. It's not just me getting crucified, we're all sharing in this. He says, whoever wants to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for me will save it. So there has to be an ending for a beginning. There has to be a dying of old self for the beginning of new self. Okay, Tom, this is kind of out there. What do you mean, died old self? Like, we're not talking physical death. No, we're talking about our old self, our flesh, our sin, our old way of life. So what do you mean, what does that look like to join in his death? How do we do that? Well, it says it right here in this passage. How do we send our old selves to the cross to join in Jesus' crucifixion? Well, it comes with an awareness of reality. An understanding of how things really are. Look in verse 6, 6 and 7. My pages are blowing all over. I can find it. There it is. Verse 6, he says, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. The action isn't crucify yourself. The action is know that you've been crucified with him. So you have been crucified with him when you put your faith in him. The key is to know that. To understand that, to put your awareness on that. In verse 7, he says, know that that our old self was crucified in him. And in verse 11, he says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin. So the action isn't grit your teeth and stop sinning. The action asked for is know that you've been crucified with him. Count yourself dead to sin. Have an understanding of reality, what really happened, that he has died for you, and you are no longer a slave to sin. When you realize that, when you have an awareness of that, verse 8 says, you also will live with him. Live with him how? Verse 10, he says that that the life he lives to God. So when we understand that I was crucified with him, my old self, my sin, my flesh, my pride, the self, all that's been crucified with Christ, that it no longer has power over me. Verse 6, that I'm no longer a slave to sin. I serve a new master now. Before Christ, when sin comes calling, we say, yes, sir. And we might resist a little bit, but eventually we say, yes, sir, because sin is our master. But when we join in Jesus' death, knowing that when we put our faith in him, that we have new life in him, that old self is gone. It's gone away with, and we're no longer mastered by sin. He's no longer our master. So verse 6, so you're no longer slaves to sin. Verse 14, for sin shall no longer be your master. As we send our old self to the cross, we realize that we've been freed from the slavery to sin. It's this understanding to put our awareness on it, to know that their old self was crucified with him, to count yourself dead to sin. Now, of course, this doesn't mean you're going to experience complete victory over sin until you're glorified in heaven. So we carry these fleshy sin bags around, right, as we go. But it's different. This is speaking of a different life, of no longer being mastered by sin. Because, yes, we won't be experience complete victory until we're glorified in heaven. But, man, we act like we already lost. And we stop resisting. And we're just like, yeah, I sin. That's what I do. A lot of us, even though the chains are broken and we've been set free, we take those broken chains and we lay them across our wrists and act like we're still slaves to sin. We think, oh, I'm just going to keep answering. I'm going to keep saying yes to sin. And we forget. We don't live as though we've been freed from sin. And we miss out on new life. And the lie that sin uses to trick us into this life, to trick us into holding on to the old life. This is the lie that sin uses to gain mastery over us, even though we're already freed from him. Sin just says, give me just a sliver of your life. God can have Sundays. God can have Spotify. You can play your Christian music on there. You know, God can have a lot of that. I just want a sliver. That's all I need. You do you. I just want a sliver. I just want a bit. Look at how Paul talks about this. Verse 12. How sin still reigns in the lives of believers. Let's see. Verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. It says, verse 13, do not offer any part of yourselves to sin as an instrument of wickedness. Don't offer any part, not a wedge, not a slice, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. That's who we are. And offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. So the devil says, just give me a bit, just give me a wedge. And he keeps hold on us as we allow sin to rule a bit of our lives. But how this experience is when we understand that we've been freed from sin, we're no longer slaves to sin, and to offer, therefore we don't have to answer to sin, we answer to someone else, to God. When we can offer our whole parts to God, our whole life to God, that's when we experience this new life in him, by offering every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. And we know this is not just talking about body parts. It's talking about factions of life, parts of your life, right? Aspects of your life, offering it all to him. So, if there's a part of you, of your old self, that you keep hidden away in a closet or whatever, you know, that part that you don't like to talk about, but it's kind of there, that you just allow to be there, and so that's just kind of how it's going to be. If there's part of your old self that's still been hanging on, my encouragement to you is send it to the cross. Because we've been crucified with him. Know that we share in his death. Count yourself dead to sin. Send that to the cross, and then so join in Jesus with the cross, so that we can join with Jesus in his crucifixion, in his resurrection, so we can experience new life in him. Man, as your pastor, I want you to experience joy in Christ. I want you to experience fulfillment of the resurrection. I want you to enjoy new life in him. I know it's a challenge. I know it's hard, but there's so much joy there. And what's cool is it's something that we get to do together. You're not on your own. You have a church family here that loves you, that cares about you, and we're figuring it out together. So when we forget that we've been crucified with Christ, and we can remind each other that we're new creations in him. So I want you to experience the wonder of new life in Christ this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you so much. One, for your forgiveness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you don't count our sins against us. Thank you for your love. And God, thank you for new life in you. Thank you that I don't have to wait for heaven to experience your blessing. And so, God, I pray for each one here this morning that we can experience new life in you. God, I pray that if there is a wedge of old self that's holding on, God, I pray that by your Spirit you'd recall it to mind right now in each person. You would use this moment of silence to call to mind any old self bits that have been allowed to reside and rule. God, thank you for dying for all of me. God, I submit all of me to you. And God, if there's anybody here that doesn't know you or this is all new, God, I just pray that by your grace and love, you'd be introducing yourself and in the right way that'd be individualized and personalized with love and grace like you did for me and you've done for so many others. Thank you so much for Easter. Thank you so much for new life in you. We celebrate you this morning, our Lord, our Savior, our resurrected King. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to end our Easter service, our Resurrection Sunday, with a time of prayer, of trusting God.